Father God, we just thank you so much for your presence in this place this morning, Lord. We thank you for a full house. We thank you for hungry hearts, hungry souls, people hungry to get to know you. We just thank you for that, Lord. I praise you and I thank you. Lord, I just ask that as John gets ready to give this message, that you would just throw him out of the way. Just let him be the vessel that you would have him to be. Speak to these hearts and speak to these minds. Speak to these souls that need to hear what you have to say. And speak through my brother John in the mightiest of ways, so that you may receive every last bit of the glory. We praise you and we thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
No, thank you. Wow. That was awesome, wasn't it? Yeah. You know, today I had been working on the message off and on all week, and David has been working on a message, and so he's been sharing with me his message, and it was really kind of interesting how it worked along in there. His message had to do with he's got an uncle that's got a really close relationship with the living God, and it inspired him and little Dave to emulate that relationship and what they had to do to recreate it, and so they were inspired by him, and then they started seeking out, and the nuts and bolts of it are all is that you got to put in the time to have that kind of relationship. And so as I was working on my message and wondering how it all tied together and how it all combined, during the night last night, God showed me, it's like, first things first. First, we got to deal with why we don't want that kind of relationship. Why we as humans avoid that. And you know, I can only come to you from a cowboy standpoint, but it'll apply to everybody else. You know, and I think about every cowpuncher that I know when he's young. He's terrified that if he signs up with the living God, he's going to need him to go to Africa and dig wells for orphans. I mean, really. I had him bring in this horse, and I want to share something about it. This horse belongs to my friend Andrew and Heather, and she's a this ain't going to mean nothing to some of you, but it's a big deal to me. She's an own daughter of Dual Ray out of an own daughter of Little Peppy. She's really cowy. She's really quick-footed. She's really broken the bridle. And there just isn't much about her I don't like. And the saddle on her was built by my good friend J.W. Jacobs. And he built a ranch cutter, so it does all the things I like to do. You can rope in that thing. You can get sat down, and the horse can move around underneath of you like I want one to. The reason I'm sharing all that with you is because if you cut off the top of my head, a horse would fall out of there. I mean, really, that's really important to me, those things I just described to you. And when I was young, I was terrified that I wouldn't be able to be that guy and follow the living God. I thought that I was going to have to give up that guy that I was to pursue him. What I discovered along the way is that he created me to be that guy, and he wants to use that guy to stand on as a platform to represent him from. And so I want to share with you. First, I want to turn to the 119th Psalm for just a second. And then we're going to go to Matthew. We're going to go to Matthew 4 and then Matthew 17. And if we just start right in the beginning, it really brought to my attention our fear as no matter what our field is or where we come from. So it says, "Joyful are the people of integrity who follow the instructions of the Lord." And everybody I know, when they're young, they want to have integrity, but they're terrified to follow the instructions of the Lord. and they try to find a way that those two might not match up completely. It's like, I want to be a man that stands up for my word and have my word mean something, but I don't really want to follow the Lord because I might have to go to Africa and dig wells for little orphans. I mean, really, I'm just calling it how it is. Joyful are those who obey his laws. That brings great joy to those that have been following him for a while, but it terrifies the heart of him who's looking at the outside looking in. It's like, oh, obeying his laws? Are you kidding me? That's really scary. And I'm sure that I'm going to have to give up being who I am to do that. And I'm going to share with you this morning, that's a lie. It's a lie from the devil himself. He created you to be the man or woman that you are with the gifts that you have. And he created you with those gifts with a great purpose to stand on that platform doing the things that you know how to do better than anybody else and the things that you're passionate about. I was thinking about this, Dave and little Dave up here singing and playing. And we do not have the only guys in any church this morning that have been in a honky-tonk every night this weekend and playing worship this morning. We don't have the only ones, but we got the only ones that were Facebook Live in both places, I'm going to tell you. I'll bet you anything, I've never asked them this question, but I'll bet you anything they thought to start serving him, they were going to have to give up that side of their life. But the truth of the matter is, my God says, that's exactly where I want you to go. I created you to have that talent. I want you to go there and share me with the people that are in there. They need me just as bad as the people that show up in church on Sunday morning, I can assure you. So they're being obedient with the gifts that God's given them. I want you to turn with me now to Matthew, and I'm going to back this up a little bit. Matthew 4. Go. I was writing notes this morning, so I'll see where I am. Matthew 4, 18. I found this really interesting. Jesus first shows up in Peter's life right here. One day as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who also called Peter, and Andrew, throwing a net in the water, for they were fishing for a living. Jesus called them out, "Come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people." He never once said, "You got to quit being a fisherman. I know that you were born to be. I know that you understand it. I know that you got several generations in this industry, and I know that you love it, but you got to give it up." He didn't say that. He said, "I'm going to teach you how to use that to impact the world." In my life, most people think that the shortest distance between point A and point B is a straight line. That don't make any sense to me. A cow don't work that way. The shortest way to get the cow from here to there is to go in the flow that she wants to go, and it may be the long way around. That I understand. It's the way I'm made. God showed me how to tell people the truth in that same way. He showed me that sometimes if I want to help you get to the truth, the shortest way to the truth is a long way around. Sometimes you've got to go through the process and the flow that your life is already going. And my job is to help you and support you all the way through that, knowing that the end result is freedom in him. Using who you are and who you were created to be, you're still going to be that guy when you get there. You're just going to be better. And you're going to be in truth. And you're going to be free. You're not going to be trapped with that. If we could have the mission statement for a second. I just love this. This is who we are. to reach the unchurched Western culture with the gospel of Jesus Christ by tearing down religious barriers. Right here, we're ripping down a barrier. The people that you know when you leave here are mortified that they can't be who they were created to be if they come in here. But the truth is, they can be more of that person than they've ever been before. And so when we go to be them, we've got to be authentic. We're not just building an authentic relationship, but we're going to continue to be who we are. God created me to be on that horse right there. And that's the only place I want to be. And I want to represent him from that spot, and I want to draw everybody to him that I can from that wonderful platform that he gave me. Yours is different. It's yours. Whatever falls out when they cut open the top of your head, that's who you are. That's who you're created to be. That's what he wants to use. That's a platform that he wants to touch his people, that he wants to draw his people to him through. So I got one more, and this is Peter again. So if we go to 17 for just a second, Matthew 17. And we're going to close here. 24. On the arrival in Capernaum, the collectors of the temple tax came to Peter and asked him, "Doesn't your teacher pay the temple tax?" And 25 said, "Yes, he does," Peter replied. Then he went into the house, but before he had a chance to speak, Jesus asked him, "What do you think, Peter? Do kings tax their own people or the people they have conquered?" And the reason I'm going here is because he makes a really important point that's not really in the text of where I'm going, but I think it's an awesome point, and I want you all to get it. Do kings tax their own people or the people they have conquered? 26. "They tax the people they have conquered," Peter replied. "Well then," Jesus said, "the citizens are free. By rights, we don't really have to pay it. But, however," 27, "however, we don't want to offend them." I don't really agree with it. We're in a spot that I don't completely hold to, but we're going to do it anyhow. It's the way it is here. We're not going to make a big deal out of it. And then he says this, "So go down to the lake, throw in a line, open the mouth of the first fish you catch, and you will find a large silver coin. Take it and pay the tax for both of us." The reason that that's important is Peter was the fisherman. We've already discovered that. He could have said anything. I thought of it. You know, if Peter was a cowman, he'd have said, "Look, if you go out there into the pasture with your cattle, when you come to the first cow patty that's good and solid, got some crispiness, kick that baby over, and underneath of there will be what you need to pay the tax. I don't agree with it, but I'm going to make amends for all that. It's going to be covered." If he was a horse guy, it'd have been different. She's like, "You get to the first, the bronchiest one, and when you get it caught, snubbed up a little bit, it'll be tangled up in its mane there, and that witch is not." Whatever. He used who Peter was and what Peter understood. And she's like, "I've had enough preaching. Somebody just get on me." He used who Peter was. He used who I am. He wants to use who you are, or he already is. Some of you are already here, a lot of you. But it's got to be our message when we leave here. Everyone we run into has gifts and talents and passion. And most likely, even if God does want them to go to Africa and dig wells for little orphans, He wants it to do. He wants them to do that using the gifts he's given them, and it will be the most exciting, invigorating, fulfilling thing that they have ever done. Pray with me. Oh, Father, I love you. I appreciate who you are. I appreciate how you created me. I thank you that you put passions in me, and then you gave a great purpose, a purpose that is so far exceeds anything I could have imagined. It just boggles my mind. You put that in me and each and every person listening right now before we were conceived, with the purpose of serving you with it. And you're going to teach us how to use that and draw others to you through it. Father, I pray that if there's anybody in here listening right now that hadn't been using their gift for you, that today is the day, right here, right now, they are committed to start using the things that they are, the deal they do best, the passion in them to serve you. And Father, I pray if there's anybody in here that's never chose to serve you at all, that's never signed up on your team, that right now, even as I'm praying, they're making a decision. Father, I pray that they're joining those of us that have, and I pray that somebody in here right now is saying, yeah, I've had enough of doing this my way. I've had enough of having these wonderful gifts and having them be useless. I want them to have real value. I thank you for that person or people. I pray that you would give them the courage, the mighty courage that it takes that only you have, to tell somebody, to share it. And for the rest of us, Father, I just pray that you would show us how to use our gifts to better serve you. I praise you for this. And Father, also in a minute when we're done this, the prayer request list will be up there, and while I'm praying, we'll just continue on with that. Father, there's people on there with real needs. Every one of them on there, they're in a tight spot. Father, I just pray that you would do a mighty miracle, that you would do amazing things, that you would heal them, that you would give them freedom. And Father, we know that as you heal people, that still don't mean they're going to last on this earth forever. None of us are. You brought Lazarus back from the dead after 4 days, and he ain't here with us now. So we know, no matter what you do, the healing you bring to us today, tomorrow we're going to be with you, those that trust you. And Father, I just pray that if there's anybody in here that don't trust you, that we overcome that right here, right now. And I pray all this in Jesus' name.